Welcome to the sixth and final sermon in our sermon series entitled, Practice Makes Powerful. Today's sermon title, The Power of a Team, Life Groups. Open your Bible to Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the God of teams. You create teams to accomplish your good purpose in history. Please teach us to value teams. Teach us how to build teams. Teach us how to be good team players. And then empower us to sharpen each other to love and good works. Please bless the teams of workers who are helping the hurricane victims in Bermuda and all along the East Coast of America. Thank you for this church and the great teams that make it work. And all this I pray in Christ's name, amen. It's easy to say, I was on a team once and it didn't work out, and then we give ourselves the excuse that we don't have to do the kind of things that are necessary to be on a good team. I want to remind you of Doris Kearn Goodwin's book, The Team of Rivals. It's one of my favorite books I've ever read. And it's about Abraham Lincoln. When Abraham won the 1860 election, he had to pick a cabinet. It was the team that he was going to lead America with. And he did the most ironic thing you can imagine. He picked his opponents in the election. And when he was asked, "Why did you do that?" This is what Lincoln said. "We need the strongest men of the party in the cabinet. We needed to hold our people together. I had looked at the party and concluded that these were the very strongest men. And so I said I had no right to deprive the country of their service." And he put together a team that worked with him and helped win the Civil War. I might add, one of the team players, one of his cabinet members, liked to call him the Great Ape. I want to punch that guy in the face. Anybody else? Here's Lincoln doing his best to save the country. He's bringing these people onto his team, and they lack the appreciation they should have. Eventually, I want to add, though, if you read the book, two of the people who started out thinking he was incompetent, by the time he died, they believed that he was one of America's best presidents. I wonder what you're willing to do to be a good team player in the cause of Christ, church. I want to talk to you about our life groups and our ministries today. I know some of you say, "Doc, I was in a life group, it didn't work." You said, "I was in a ministry, I got overwhelmed." Okay, this is life. At some point, we just grow up and say, people are people. There are no perfect life groups. I know you're a wonderful person. I know halos spin around your head and angels flutter their wings around you, but the rest of us are merely human. We try our best and say dumb things. Have you ever said anything dumb and said, why did I say that? Well, if you haven't, then God bless you. I've said dumb things and I said, why did I say that? Church, in groups, we have to let each other be humans. We have to look at a person and say, that person is a human being just like I am. They have good days and they have bad days. On their good days, they're going to help me be better. On their bad days, I'm going to help them be better. But I'm certainly not going to cop an attitude because the people around me aren't perfect. Church, I'm asking us to be normal human beings relating to each other in healthy ways and not having expectations that are unrealistic. If we can do that, we can build great teams. You can be in a life group that nurtures your soul. You can be on a ministry team that changes lives. But if you can't accept that even in the church, people make mistakes and say dumb things, and say, that's just humanity. Church, I don't quit going to the grocery store because I don't like the way they treat me there. Do you? Well, you don't look like you quit going to the grocery store. I'll tell you that right now. All right. This is what the scriptures tell us. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. All right, let's work our way through this. Life groups empower us to live out the confession of our hope. When you see this phrase, the confession of our hope, I hope it triggers something in your head that says, what does that mean? When he said the confession of our hope, what was he thinking? Well, confession means to say the very same thing. When I confess something, I'm saying the very same thing. And let's make this practical. All right. We all know God said that he loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that, right? That's not the first time you heard that. All right. Now, when I hold fast the confession of my hope, here's what I do. I say, dear God, you said you loved the world so much, you sent Christ. And now my hope is in him saving me. That is the confession of my hope. Let's use another verse. This is another one. We try to remind ourselves of this all the time, right? The way you want others to treat you, you treat them. All right. Now, here's my confession, my hope. Here's the confession, my hope. Dear God, you taught me to treat this person the way I wanted to be treated. Now, I'm going to do that in the hope that you're going to work in their heart and this will go well. You see the confession of our hope? The confession of our hope is us saying back to God what he's already said to us and telling him our hope is that he will be faithful to that. All right. What's the big deal? Well, life has a way of knocking the hope out of you. Have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? Not pleasant. Have you ever had the hope knocked out of you? It's even worse, isn't it? You got disappointed. Somebody Somebody hurt your feelings. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. And it knocked the hope out of you. And you started looking at life and saying, it's not supposed to be this way, church. Guess what? Life groups are God's way of helping you hold fast to hope when life is doing everything it can to knock the hope out of you. You get this? I'm in a Tuesday morning 6:30 life group. About 10, 12 guys, we meet every Tuesday morning right out here on Main Street, drink some coffee. My brother's donuts in, the proof that God is good. And sometimes we show up with the hope knocked out of us. And then we encourage each other. And then we pray for each other. We try to refresh hope, right? In life groups, God uses us as a team to refresh the confession of hope in each other. We have more hope that God is good and things are going to work out because we meet together, and when one person is down, we lift them up. When they're out of hope, we refresh the hope in them. Now, don't you want that to be part of your life? Wouldn't you like to have people in your life that when you get the hope knocked out of you, they encourage you, they pray for you, they sympathize with you, and you say, God must be good. There's people like this in the world. Church, I want that to be part of my life. Life groups continually connect us to the faithfulness of God. Because you see, faith and hope go together. And so the author of Hebrews says, meet in life groups. It will help you hold fast to the confession of your hope. Because you will be reminding each other that the God who made promises to you is faithful. Life separates us from a deep awareness of God. We get busy, right? I have a busy week. I got to do this and this and this, and I'm running. And I'm trying to get things done. All right, I can be very, very busy, and my sense of the presence and the faithfulness of God can get thin. Right? In fact, I don't know about you, but I can't meet God once a week and make it through the week. I gotta have more than once a week, church. I've talked to you about daily devotions in this. I have to have daily devotions. I cannot run a whole week on meeting God once on Sunday or once on Saturday night. So we meet in life groups and we remind each other of the faithfulness of God. And our awareness of God is stimulated again. If you're not in a life group, you might run your whole week out of touch with God. It's possible, right? We've all done it, haven't we? We've spent the whole week out of touch. With a life group, you have at least twice a week, once on the weekend, once at your group, where you are reminded that God is good. And he's made promises to us, and he's going to keep those promises, and we're going to live better because we are in a relationship with him. Church. Life groups motivate us and encourage us to love and good works. Look at the next phrase. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good work. First of all, I want to look at this word consider, because consider kind of seems passive. The word consider, would you consider? All right, this word is not passive. It really means to put your thoughts down on. You concentrate on this. Concentrate on how you can encourage each other to be more loving and do better work. All right. I hope your life group is more than coffee and donuts and chatting about life. We've got to think about, we have to concentrate on, how can we help each other be our very best? I think about the guys in my life group. I pray for them. I pray for the guys in my group. We pray for each other by name. I think about them throughout the week, and I think, dear God, bless them. I know they're doing this. I know they're doing that. I know they have this challenge at work. What a beautiful thing it is when people care about each other enough to think about one another and pray for each other when you're not even together. Church, wouldn't you like to know that when you're facing the hardest things in life, you've got a friend in a life group who's thinking about you and maybe praying for you? Wouldn't you like to know that? All right, now let's do this word stimulate. Stir each other up to love and good works. This is a very odd word also. If I translated it literally, it means convulse. Convulse one another to love and good works. But that's too odd, isn't it? How about this? The idea of shaking each other. Did you watch college football yesterday? Isn't Ohio State awesome? I mean, come on. Can I have an OH out there anywhere? I pity you people who aren't Ohio State fans. Before the game, these players are trying to stir each other up, right? They're banging into each other. They're hitting each other on the shoulder pads. They're shaking each other. Somebody's yelling at them. I want to jump up and block somebody myself. Sharon starts running for the kitchen. I'm going to tackle her. They fire me up. I get all. Anybody else? Amen. No? All right. That's this verse. They are convulsing each other. They are stirring each other up. They're raising the sense of urgency. They're raising the energy in the room. And Paul said, that is a wonderful thing to happen in teams. Bang each other on the shoulder pads. Cheer each other up. Raise the energy. To do what? To be more loving and to do good work. Church? All right. I want to focus on both of these. I will love people better as part of a team than I can love them by myself. You get this? Sharon and I raised 5 children. We raised them as a team. Because you see, sometimes those kids exhausted my love. Isn't that I didn't love them, it's that I had loved myself to empty, and now I wanted to choke them. But I had a team player. I had a team player. She said, we can choke them tomorrow if we have to. Let's let them live one more day. And I would say, okay, we can do that. Okay, but sometimes they exhausted her love. And she wanted to lock him out of the house. And I'd go, well, maybe we can lock him out tomorrow. Let's let him have one more day. Do you see? When you are on a team, you love better. I'm able to love better when I'm on a team because sometimes I love myself out and I got a team player there who will pick it up. Sometimes they love themselves out and I'm on their team and they can pick it up. Don't you see this is true? There are times in our lives when we have people around us who are able to love better than we can love in that moment. And if we're good team players, we keep encouraging each other to be loving so that there's always someone who has a heart full of love when it's needed. Church. Now let's talk about good works. Do you ever say to yourself, why do I always have to be the one to do the right thing? Let somebody else do it this time. Good. Good. I'm in the right place then. Doing good work gets old. And you know what? That's why the Bible says, do not be weary with well-doing. You know why? Because well-doing makes you weary. Right? Now, you who wear the halo, I know. You're just energized by the Spirit. God bless you. But us mere humans, we get weary with well-doing. And it's always beautiful to have somebody who says, you've come too far now to quit. Walk a little farther I'll walk with you. Let's push this a little farther. Don't give up yet. Remember the one who promised is faithful. Just let's pray together. I'll ask for God to give us some new ideas. Do you see? We are there to keep calling the best out of each other. Church. We're there to keep calling the best out of each other. And when you're on a good team, they'll call the best out of you. And you won't be weary with well-doing. And you'll be willing to engage one more time in the noble work of being a follower of Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you about a ministry I want some of you to consider. Have you noticed that the greatest generation, baby boomers, are getting old? And they're building assisted living places everywhere. Everywhere I look, a new assisted living place is going up. Do you notice that? And they're not empty. People live there. And you know, a lot of people who live there, they used to come to church every Sunday just like you do. But now for one reason or another, they can't do it. Some of them don't have cars anymore. Does this verse say, concentrate on encouraging one another to love and good works until you get to be so old that you have to live in an assisted living place, and then you don't have to do that anymore? Church? Because that's not how I'm reading it. You know how I'm reading this? God cares about his kids, his old kids, in assisted living places. And he wants someone to love them enough to go there week after week and do a service so they can be stimulated in love and good works. Church? Right now we have 5 places. We do 5 services a week at assisted living places.
teams of people in our church go do the service. You know, some of you need to join one of those teams and spend an hour a month going and encouraging a person who's loved God their whole life, gone to church, served. And now, unless we go to them and encourage them in faith and good works, in love and good works, they sit wondering about, I wonder if God still cares about me. Church, can you hear this? God cares about them. It's a question of, will we be a good team player, and will we go for the love of Christ and encourage them to continue to love each other and do good work? Church. Now, I'm serious. Some of you need to pray about that, and you need to join those teams. It matters to the heart of God, and it matters to the people that we're going to serve. And I'm trying to stimulate you right now to love and good works. I'm not asking you to get a job there and go there every day. I'm asking you to go once a month and encourage these people in the love and the good work of Jesus Christ. And I don't think that's an unfair request, do you? Do not neglect joining a life group, and don't neglect attending them. It's a bad habit to try and live the Christian life without a team. Some of you are trying to live the Christian life without a team. And look what this says. Don't stop. Don't leave behind. Don't give up on gathering yourself together. This is a command. Don't do it. It's not good for you. So what am I asking you to do? This is simple. Here's what I'm asking you to do. If you're not in a group, I'm asking you to find a group. We got a page today. That page has some groups on it. If you're in a group that you went to and you quit going to because you didn't like it, change groups. You didn't join the army. You're allowed to go to a different group. You just simply say to the group, hey, I enjoyed hanging with you, but I'm going to go hang out with these guys for a while. Right? Okay, not every group is perfect for everyone. I don't want to come to some of your groups. Sorry. You're wonderful, but I don't want to come. And some of you don't want me to come. I know. It works both ways. Groups aren't meant to torture each other. Oh, brother, Doc's coming to our group. Oh. Church? They're not torture times. They're supposed to be relatively pleasant. If you're in a group that's not pleasant to you, change. If you signed up for a ministry and you don't like it, don't quit coming to church. Sign up for a different ministry. If you can't find a group, start a group. I mean, really, it's not that hard to start a group in our church. Call Dominic, he'll talk to you about it, he'll give you the stuff, and start a group. And then the scriptures say, encourage others to join your group. Encourage one another. Do you see it right in the text? Encourage one another. How do you do that? You walk up to somebody in Main Street and say, I'm in a great life group. Come and visit with me this week. We have 12 guys in our life group. I started out with one. And over time, I just invite people, and one by one, we grow to 12. There are people here who would like you to invite them to come to your group. They're uncomfortable. They don't want to hunt it down. But if you invited them, they would take that as a pleasant thing. All right, number two, how do you encourage them? If somebody new comes, show them attention. Have you ever been in one of those spaces where you're the new person, all the regular people are over here, they know each other, they're talking about everything, and you're kind of sitting there going, not sure what to do with your hands, you're feeling, why did I do this? Why did I put myself through this? And can you relate to that? All right, let's not do that to people. Show them some attention. Would it really kill you to not talk to your best friend and talk to this other person for a few minutes? Invite them in, make them feel like they're welcome. Church? Three. Pray for each other. I am a firm believer that in our life groups, we have to pray for each other. There are things the Holy Spirit only accomplishes through prayer. Prayer doesn't take the place of being nice to somebody. Prayer doesn't take the place of many other things. But guess what? Nothing takes the place of prayer either. How about acts of kindness and friendship? In your life group, what if you have acts of kindness and friendship? In my life group, if somebody doesn't show up for a while, we call them up and say, hey, we're missing you. Is everything okay? Have you been okay? Did something go wrong that we can fix? We show each other kindness. Not to mention donuts. How do we encourage each other? How about doing a serve project together as a life group? We do all these serve projects because we're trying to take the message of Christ and make the church visible in the world. We do all these serve projects. What if you participated in your group in a serve project? I'm telling you, it is very friendship building. Every time I've done a project with other people, I've come away better friends than when we started the project. All right, now let's get to this last part. It's a little uncomfortable. The author of Hebrews says, life groups are all even more important as you see the day draw near. Now let's talk about the day a little bit. When I was a boy, everything was the end of the world. So this means as you see the end of the world draw near, go to life groups more often. The trouble with that is, I want to go to life groups if Christ doesn't come back for another 1,000 years. I don't know when he's coming back. Do you? I want to go to a life group because I think the day drawing near isn't the end of the world. It's much more personal. If you're 45, listen to me very carefully. 45 and under. 50 and under. Everybody else can daydream. Listen. Here's what you're going to think when you're my age. Why, when I was 40, did I think that was so important? And now when I look back on it, I don't think it was important at all. I gave way too much time to something that was not important. And I did it at the expense of the thing that is really important. Church? Here's where I am in my life. My day, I'm only 65, but I've been ridden hard and left out wet. I'm only 65, but I know I've got less ahead of me than I have behind me. And I know that who I am right now is a result of the choices I've made for the last 40 years. Guess what? The choices that made me a better soul more prepared me for the day. The choices that damaged my soul made me less prepared for the day. Do you get this? Are you with me? Whether I'm ready or not, the day is coming. The day is coming. And my soul is ready or my soul is not ready, but it doesn't change the day. Now, here's what I know. Not having time for a life group, but having time for my favorite show is not going to prepare my soul to stand before God. Do you get that? You can't stand to miss American Idol, but somehow or another, you can miss life group week after week. I'm telling you, young people, that has a cumulative effect on your soul. You can't make up for 20 years of not nurturing your eternal soul. You can't make up for it. On the other hand, week after week after week after week after week, if you nurture your eternal soul, as the day draws near, you're not worried because your soul has grown year after year and you feel God has been at work in me both to will and to work according to his own good pleasure. You start getting this feeling. He who began the good work in you will make it perfect until the day of Jesus Christ. Church? Or, young people, you just keep making the wrong choices and life slips by and slips by and slips by. And your soul doesn't change. And you get to be my age, and you say, don't call me now, Lord, because I can't go. Church, can you hear me? Life groups are one of God's ways to have you completely prepared for the day. So because week after week, you've been encouraging each other to love and good work. Because week after week, you've been reconnecting to the faithfulness of God. Because week after week, you've helped each other hold fast to the confession of hope. Your soul has grown. You are a mature Christian soul. You are who God created you to be. You're ready to stand before him without spot and without blemish in Christ Jesus. And the day just doesn't seem that frightening. Church, I'm asking you to rethink your life. I'm asking you to live your Christian life as a team player. I'm asking you to make relationships with other people who love Christ, and God is going to work in you through them, and he's going to work in them through you. And together, we will be ready for the day. Church? Together, because we are convulsing each other to love and good work, we're going to live a better life, and we're going to accomplish better things. Together, We're going to stay connected to the faithful God who promised, and we're going to see his faithfulness in our lives, in our families, in our workplace, in our church, in our careers, and in the many adventures that God puts us in. And it's all going to work out to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. If you're not in a group, here's the slip. Sign up. We'll help you get in one. If you're not on a service team, here's a slip. Sign up. We'll help you get in one. And if you join a team and it doesn't work for you, we'll help you change. If you join a ministry and you start hating it, we'll let you off the hook. We'll say, fine, stop doing that. Let's help you find something that's more meaningful. Because in the end, it's not the task, it is life together in Christ Jesus that makes us the people of God. Our dear Heavenly Father, how kind you were when you said you didn't want us to do any of this alone, and that you said it was your normal way for us to relate together in teams. How kind you were. How kind you are not to send us out into life to do single combat, but we get to go out as a team. Father, I pray this morning for every one of us to be better team players in our homes. Father, I pray that my brothers and I could love our wives the way you want them to be loved. I pray that the sisters would love their husbands the way you want them to be loved. I pray that the parents could be filled with your Spirit and build a great family team. I pray that the kids would be willing to be team players. I pray that every family would feel like they are a unit that struggles through life together, helping each other win and become what they couldn't be without each other. I pray for our life groups. I pray for our ministry teams. I pray that we could have good experiences and we could grow in Christ Jesus. And I pray all of this would be pleasing to you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.